The topic is when midot and mitzvot conflict, and I don't want to get right into the idea of when they conflict and try to explain the tension that develops, which is true, but I think I want to first make sure that there's a foundation about how we understand mitzvot, how we understand the need for them and how we look at them, which then opens up a window into how we approach the problem that we have in everyday life when what seems to be the command of God in the mitzvah does not necessarily conform to our understanding of what a midah should be. So I'm not going to necessarily go into all the details of when they conflict in all the different circumstances, but I want to give sort of a foundation for how to approach this. So I want to start off with, there is source sheets there. They're somewhat long, and you could take them home and read some of them, and so you get the context of where of what things, how things are said. Oh, they're in. Sorry, I thought it was. This should be enough. There might be a few shorts if someone could share if that's a problem. Okay. So first I'm going to quote a very famous Gemara, which again is right on page one, which is a Gemara in Brachas. And it says, Ha'omer al-Kantzipra Yagiyu Rachamecha, whoever says regarding that God has mercy on birds in a nest because of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, Shiluach HaKain, sending away the mother to take the children, Mishaskanaso, you quiet him down. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say God has mercy. So the Gemara argues and says there's two Amorayim who argue b'Ma'arava in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin and Rabbi Yossi bar Zveida. One says, Mivnei Shemato Kina b'Masa Bereshis. One says that the problem is that really, of course, God seems to have mercy on the birds, but it would create jealousy amongst the different creations, because why did God only care about birds and not care about frogs, for example, or sheep or goats? Although there's Osav Espino, there's other mitzvahs which address that, but he said it would create jealousy. That's one opinion. B'chad Amar, and the other opinion is, M'nesha Osav Midosav Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim. God, this would make it as if that God, the God's midos, God's character traits, that God has mercy. But in Nelagazeres, it's not true. God is not merciful. I'm reading this in an extreme way. But it's only Gazeres. They're only decrees. And this is a very famous Gemara to say that we don't know why God says to do things. We might have some ideas. We might feel that there's certain midos that are pushed by the Torah and others that are not. But ultimately, the Torah is just 613 commandments, gezeros, the decrees. We have to follow them no matter what. That's the way we look at it. It's the will of God. That seems to be the second opinion here in the Gemara in Brachos, which is, again, very famous and quoted quite often. Then there's another medrash, which you don't have in front of you, but it's brought down in page 2 in a quote from the Mara Nevuchim. I didn't have the medrash exactly, but the medrash says, V'chima ichbis leil HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben shochem min ha-tzavar l'shochem min ha-orech. That's the last line on page 2. It's quoted in the Rambam's Guide for the Perplexed. It says, God, why does God care if you sheft an animal, if you slaughter an animal from the neck or from the back of the neck? Right? Why would God care? Hello, nitnu ha-mitzvus al-tzar fa-hemasabrius. Really, the mitzvahs are only given in order to purify the people. And he brings a pasuk. This is a medrash in Breishis Rabbah. So here also, the Rambam actually quotes it as if at first glance it's saying there's no real reason for mitzvahs. God just wants us to do what he tells us to do. And that's what he means by purifying the people. There's different ways of understanding that, but that's the simple version, simple reading of it is God just says, do it. I want to make sure that you're pure, meaning that you know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do, that you listen to a source, you listen to a decree of God. But you could read this that it's either a saying that it's a gezeirah, as I just said, or you could say, as the Ramban, Nachmanides has actually in the part of the Torah which deals with Shiluach HaKan, he actually says he understands the measure saying it's not for us. No, God doesn't care whether you shecht one way or another. It's in order for us, it's not for God, but it's for us to make sure that we're purified, that we do the proper thing. So the Ramban actually reads this as saying, no, it is for us. There is a reason. It's just that not that God cares. It's to help us. But it's this statement could be somewhat ambiguous, and reading this medrash might give you an impression that God doesn't care about midos, but he only cares about decrees, but you could read it either way. A third source in Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, which you do have on the source sheet on page 1 on the bottom, and it's both in Hebrew and English there. This is another very famous medrash. Why were the reasons of the Torah not revealed? Because there were two reasons, two psukim, two mitzvahs, which the reasons were revealed in the Torah. A great person, referring to Shlomo HaMelech, actually stumbled in this regard, because it says that a king, lo yarbe lo nashim, should not have a lot of wives, and Shlomo said, I can have a lot of wives. Why shouldn't I have a lot of wives? Because it will remove me from serving God, and there'll be avodah zarah. That won't happen to me. But of course, I don't have the whole quote, I don't think. But of course, he was nichshal. Oh, I do have it. He was nichshal. He stumbled, as the pasuk says that there was avodah zarah, whatever that means, in the household of Shlomo HaMelech. And it also says lo yarbe lo susim. You shouldn't have a lot of horses, because it says you shouldn't have a lot of horses. You don't want to end up going back to Egypt, where the supply of horses was. And Shlomo said, no, ani arba v'lo ashiv, I'll have a lot of horses and I won't return to the land of Egypt. And of course, again, he was nichshal. He stumbled in that regard. This medrash, this gemara, seems to imply that there are reasons for all of the mitzvahs. And it just says, v'lo niskalu tamon, we're not revealed, because there's a slippery slope. If you try to understand reasons for mitzvahs, you're going to eventually think that you could rationalize and understand when it applies and when it doesn't apply. Or then you might even get to the point where you say, well, this I just don't agree with. And you'll throw out certain mitzvahs, like Shlomo HaMelech seemed to do. And that slippery slope is very dangerous, and therefore the reasons are there. They're there to direct us in certain directions, but God keeps them to himself, and somehow they still have an effect. So this source, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, seems to imply that there are reasons for all mitzvahs. One more source that you don't have, but it's quoted in Aramban, and that he says, and another very famous medrash, he says that, I'll just paraphrase it, that the Para Aduma, I have the Ramban who quotes the medrash right here. So he says, Shlomo HaMelech, in regards to Shlomo HaMelech, again it says, Al kol amadati, on all of the different mitzvahs I stood, meaning I understood them and I was able to get to the bottom of why the mitzvah is commanded. But uparsha shel Para Aduma, chakarti v'sha'alti v'shbashti, Para Aduma, the red heifer, I searched, I asked, I tried to find out everything. And I said, Achachma v'hirachokumena, many. The end, it's too distant for me, I can't understand it. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, this medrash is saying, understood the reasons, again, a very famous medrash, understood the reasons for every mitzvah. So it implies clearly there is a reason for every mitzvah. The only one he could not understand was Para Aduma, where he's not saying there's no reason, just that he didn't understand it. And it goes on to say, V'amr Rav Yosef Bechanina, Amalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, God said to Moshe, Lech, Alecha Ani Megala, to you, I will reveal Tam Para Aduma, Avalachayim Chuka. To others, it's a statute, it's something which you cannot understand, but Moshe did understand it. So this medrash certainly claims that every single mitzvah has a reason. So we have different sources really claiming seemingly contradictory ideas. Are there reasons, not sources, but are there reasons for all the mitzvahs, or are really the mitzvahs in the Torah are really gezeiros from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the decrees from God, and we follow them because we follow the will of God? So now, let's see what the commentaries of the Rambam, actually do with this. So again, the source on page 2 of the handout is, I copied most of the chapter so you could read it and actually get it in context, but I underlined the parts that I feel are important. And actually, there's different translations of the Rambam. This is one of the poorer translations, but that's what's online. So that's what you got. So I'll actually, if you don't mind, I'll read it what I think is a better translation. And that's the Rambam in Book 3, Chapter 26. And there he says, just as there is a disagreement among the men of speculation, among the adherents of law whether his works may be exalted or consequent upon wisdom or upon the will alone. As people disagree whether God created the world for a reason or just that's the will of God, without being intended toward any end at all. There is also the same disagreement among them regarding our laws. There's a disagreement in regard to mitzvahs, which he has given to us. Thus, there are people who do not seek for them any cause at all, saying that all laws are consequent upon the will alone. There are also people who say that every commandment and prohibition in these laws is consequent upon wisdom and aims at some end, and that all laws have causes and were given in view of some utility. He clearly states that there's a machlokas, there's an argument between different opinions in the Gemara, and that's what he's referring to, whether there's reasons for the mitzvahs or not. And then, interestingly, I'll just keep reading here, interestingly, he says, it is, however, the doctrine of all of us, both of the multitude and of the elite, that all the laws have a cause. That seems to contradict what he said before. He said there's an argument, and he says everyone agrees. I think if you read that carefully, he seems to be saying the multitude are the average person on the street, the elite are the Rambam and the philosophers, and the adherents of the law are the Talmidei Chachamim and the Gemara who actually argue about it. But he leaves them out, and the Rambam does this very often. What he does is the opinion that he agrees with, he kind of makes it sound as if everybody agrees with him. Even though he already stated that they didn't, then he slides into it. He does this constantly. And actually, a few lines later, in the next paragraph, he says, he's talking about the mitzvahs, says they are not believed by the multitude of the sages to be things for which there is no cause at all and for which one must not seek an end. He says the multitude of sages agree with me. So he's saying, yeah, there's an opinion, but it's a das yachid. It's an individual opinion. And basically, we could throw it out, and nobody really deals with it. But it is presented in the Gemara, and it is often quoted. But the Rambam has his way of dealing with that. But the Rambam is showing very clearly that he's not suggesting that everyone agrees with him. There is such an opinion, but he doesn't agree with it. And that's where the Rambam stands on this issue. So, number one, I would say, I'm going to try to give you three approaches to Taimei HaMitzvahs, to whether there is reasons for the mitzvahs. Number one approach would be the second opinion in the Gemara in Brachas, Rabbi Yossi Bar Abin, who says, there is no reason for mitzvahs. The Rambam certainly states that there is such an opinion, but he doesn't agree with it, but that's number one approach. Number two approach, which seems to be the more common one, not only the Rambam, but you find it in the Ramban and many other commentaries. Laws do have reasons, even chukim, as again, if you'd read on in the Rambam, you see he talks about even chukim, even though we always say a chok is a reason, a law without a reason, that's not true. That's a misconception. It just means it's something that we don't understand, and as he says, and that you could find also on page 2, where in the middle, I'm going to read it from the quote from the other translation. He says, really, those are unknown to us due to the incapacity of our intellects or the deficiency of our knowledge. And that's very important. That the Rambam is saying that really it's because we can't understand it or we're lacking certain notions. The Rambam talks about this at great length, how we don't know a lot of what was going on in those times in regard to pagan rites and rituals, and therefore a lot of the mitzvahs seem to have no reasons, when really there's reasons that if we'd be there, we would understand what the reasons are. But the Rambam does not use the slippery slope suggestion. I just want you to keep that in mind. Yes, it is. It's a great problem. But if I address that, we'll go off on a tangent. But you're right. It's very troubling, and that's why many other people would say no, just the opposite. That really there is a great reason. The Ramban actually in Shiluach HaKan, if you look in Devarim, there he actually goes on to say, you know, that the reason for the Shiluach HaKan is to create certain midos in people, certain that we shouldn't be achzarim, we shouldn't be cruel. And then he says, also, he brings a medrash that says the sod, which he seems to be talking about Kabbalistic sod. has to do with why you send the mother away and not the father. The mother is Bina, which is he's obviously talking about Kabbalistic ideas here, which is today, I would say, is most commonly accepted, that anything that you don't understand, however obscure it seems, always has some Kabbalistic and mysterious reason behind it, and therefore it's eternal. And that satisfies your question, I think. The question is whether the Rambam agreed with that. I would have to say no. The Rambam does not say that, unless I'm missing something. When you read through the many, many, many chapters in the guy talking about the Taimei HaMitzvahs, he says very clearly, we just don't know. If you knew, you would understand. So he makes them very, and that's a problem, makes it very, you know, but then he says, we still can't change. One of the Ikare HaEmuna, the principles of faith of the Rambam, is that mitzvahs do not change. So don't get into your head that therefore they could change, although of course he opens that can of worms. But this is a dispute which is not simple. But it does affect what I'm trying to get at when midos and mitzvahs conflict. That was because at the end of the day, if we could say we understand what we do understand, but it's not just some deep dark secret, then you have a different approach to how you apply it when problems occur, right? If everything is a Kabbalistic sod, if everything is a secret, and by doing a specific mitzvah, you're sort of creating changes in the upper world, then you're not going to fool around with that. You're not going to change it. But if we darshan time of the Krah, if we try to understand the reasons of the mitzvahs, and we're allowed to apply it, which is a very complicated issue, then maybe things could change a little bit. So this basic philosophy makes a big difference in how we approach problems in throughout the generations, but even specifically, I would say, in modern times. I mean, I can give you some examples, but I wanted to try to go through where I'm getting at here. So again, make sure you note that the Rambam does not approach it as the slippery slope agreement that we're going to, like the Shlomo HaMelech. He doesn't quote that to my knowledge, but rather he just says we lack the knowledge. The Ramban, Nachmanides, again, and this is approach number two, that all mitzvahs have reasons, but there's subtlety in how this is approached. The Ramban, Nachmanides, in his long discussion of this in regards to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, actually says that yes, the Torah is teaching us midos, but not like the Rambam says by Shiluach HaKan. The Rambam says, in another passage, he says, we just don't agree with the first opinion that says, or the second opinion, excuse me, that says it's only gezeiros, it's only decrees. I hold like the first opinion that really there is, the Torah is trying to show rachmanis, mercy on the bird, but we have to be careful not to create jealousy. But the second opinion, I don't agree with. The Rambam says, no, the midos that the Torah is trying to teach us is not that we should have pity on birds, but rather by acting in a kind way to birds, we will teach ourselves the midah, the character trait of rachmanis, of having mercy and not to be achzarim and not to be cruel. So therefore, it's not that the Torah cares about the bird. The Torah is trying to inculcate within us certain personality traits. And therefore, you could read the second opinion in the Gemara in Brachos about Shiluach HaKan as saying, God doesn't have mercy. Don't say God has mercy on the bird. It's only a gezeira. It's a decree. The decree is for us to learn the midah of Rachmanis, to learn that attribute, the character trait of having mercy. So he's subtly saying that the second opinion, which says it's only a gezeira, doesn't mean it's a decree, just listen to God. It means it's a decree for us, rather than for, because God cares about birds. And his whole approach is that, of course, that's the other Gemara I mentioned, the Medrash says, only Letzarif HaSabriyas, to purify the people. That's exactly what it's saying. It doesn't mean just to listen to God. It means it's not for God, as I mentioned before, but it's for us, to teach us certain character traits. So when the Ramban is doing this, it's a subtle difference, but what it does is it removes the disagreement. The Ramban actually, in a sense, is more extreme than the Rambam in the sense that he's saying everyone agrees the Torah is teaching us certain midos. But you'll see why perhaps he says it. We'll get back to that. And also the Ramban again suggests the Kabbalistic, as we repeat that, the Kabbalistic reason for mitzvahs, and therefore it becomes less possible to fool around with the details. Yes.
Yes, yes.
I agree with you 100%. I don't want to go down there, but other times I've discussed this with people. I actually think that I had a Rosh Yeshiva once who that's what he did. I remember him seeing a nest, and they went and they said, we have to do the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. And to me, that's cruelty. If you don't need it, and I think there's opinions like that, if you don't need the mother or the eggs, so what are you doing it? This is just a way. If you have to kill an animal, you shech them in the neck, the Rambam says, because it's a quicker death. But you don't just say, mitzvah to kill animals, shech them and just leave them lying around. So what's the purpose, right? So here, I don't want to get too detailed, but according to the Ramban, you can say, oh, it's teaching your Rachmanis. It's hard to agree to that. If it's a sod, if it's a secret, by sending away the mother, you're sort of doing some Kabbalistic, machinations, then there's value in it. If it's a gezerah, if it's just a decree, you do it even though you don't need it. Perhaps. You could still argue. You could argue what? I'm sorry? Yeah, if you're supposed to do it no matter what, then you'll get the reward. If it's really to teach us mercy, and we're doing it when we don't need it, I would say it's counterproductive, and I don't think you get a reward. Personally, this is my personal opinion, but I'm not the only one who holds that, but I guess my intuition tells me that's wrong. But this, by the way, is one of the outgrowths of understanding time and hametzus. This is exactly, and you'll see this plays out in many different areas and how people approach things. Yes. Yes, yes.
So if the mitzvah is intended to teach us Rachmanis, and that would reflect back to that Hashem has Rachmanis.
Yes, yes. I'm going to address that as I go through, but you're 100% right. The Rambam emphasizes that. I'll come back to that, but I'll just say I agree with you. So again, I just want to make sure that this second approach says that, yes, mitzvahs are tied to midos, and just to make sure we're getting the flow here. The first opinion is, there is no reason. There's no such thing as reasons for mitzvahs. We do it. The second is, mitzvahs are tied to midos, to character traits, but that still we don't have a freedom to act, because, let's remove the Rambam from this right now, because either there's some secret Kabbalistic idea, or because of the slippery slope that we think we're going to understand or rationalize what the reason is, but really only God knows how to apply it. And therefore, although there's a reason, we have no liberty to change things. So both these two approaches would limit any time there would be a conflict, at least in our minds or in reality, it would limit our ability to make any choices or to face it. We just say, I don't know. At the end of the day, yeah, we think God wants us to be merciful, but if I see Amaleki in the street, I kill him, right? This is one of the conflicts that would arise. People today get very upset killing Amaleki. Luckily, there's really very few Amalekis on my street. I think I have one, but generally speaking, there's not that many people from Amalek out there, and therefore the conflict doesn't arise. But that's a great example of some apologetics that arise in modern times to say, yeah, no problem. There's no, so you can't kill a Kanani, you can't kill Amaleki. That always bothers me, because at the end of the day, the Torah says if you do know that there's one, you have to kill them, unless you say it's only symbolic, because it's trying to root out evil. But of course, you're not going to kill people. You could debate this and argue this, but it's not a simple reading of the mitzvahs of the Torah. And that's approach number two. The third approach is what I want to. How I understand the Rambam's view, which is, again, of course, that the Rambam says that there's certainly time in HaMitzvahs. Again, he spends a large part of the Guide for Perplexed in his third book discussing that. He does not use, but here we go back to the Ramban's approach. The Ramban, Nachmanides, when he says that the second opinion in the Gemara, that it's a gezerah, a decree, just means a decree for us, for our midos, I think it's important that the Ramban therefore applies the word gezerah still. That is still a decree. Now, as it's a decree, we have no liberty to look at it in our independent way. Maybe, I'm not sure, but my suggestion would be that the Rambam specifically wants to say that that opinion is an opinion which he does not agree with, or that the sages do not agree with, because then he avoids using the word gezerah in reference to a mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just a decree, you do it no matter what. The mitzvah might be something we have to do no matter what, because we might not understand all mitzvahs, but theoretically at least, and we'll see if practically, but at least theoretically, if you did understand the mitzvah, then it's something that we could say, hey, maybe it doesn't apply now. Maybe we could then apply it differently in different times. So he wants to not use, perhaps, the word gezeirah or decree, and he wants to say that's an opinion which we don't agree with, but really God does teach rachmanis. God does teach us mercy, and I'll get to the Rambam v'halach the bedracha, which you're referring to in a second. Just to go further again, just to show, again, we don't have time to go into great detail, but if you look at page 3, you'll see that the Rambam in book 3, chapter 27, actually talks about the purpose for all mitzvahs, and generally he just says that the law as a whole aims at two things, the welfare of the soul and the welfare of the body. And just to paraphrase, the welfare of the soul is acquiring correct opinions, which we're not going to talk about now. No, it's basically philosophical or fundamental principles, like the 13 principles of faith. That's an extremely important idea in the Rambam, and actually, perhaps, if you read this chapter in full, it's the ultimate goal. But then the second category of reasons why we do the mitzvahs is for welfare of the body. And again, I'm reading from this version. As for the welfare of the body, it comes about by the improvement of their ways of living one with another. This is achieved through two things. One of them is the abolition of their wronging each other. This is tantamount to every individual among the people not being permitted to act according to his will and up to the limits of his power, but being forced to do that which is useful to the whole. So basically, don't do harm. The second thing, and that's a societal reason, the second thing consists in the acquisition by every human individual of moral qualities that are useful for life and society so that the affairs of the city may be ordered. So again, he's talking about from almost a political point of view, and it's utilitarian that we're trying to create a good society, but the way we create a good society is by making sure that people have moral qualities and that they act nicely and kindly one to another. So I want to focus specifically on the midos. Again, the ideas of the Rambam in regards to Tamei HaMitzvos are somewhat complex, but certainly a large part of the Rambam's approach to mitzvahs are midos. It's, in a way, it's only one third of it, but it's midos. A lot of them are teaching us moral qualities. And to emphasize this, I would tell you to look at the on page four, at the end of which is a quote, the top of the page, which is underlined, which is the end of the Moreh Nevuchim. It's actually the end of the guide. After he talks about all the Tamei HaMitzvos, or chapter after chapter after chapter, at the end, he says, interestingly, that, and I'll read it from the translation you have, the object of the above passage is therefore to declare that the perfection in which man can truly glory is attained by him when he has acquired, as far as this is possible for man, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his providence, and of the manner in which it influences his creatures and their production and continued existence. Having acquired this knowledge, he will then be determined always to seek loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Chesed, tzedakah, umishpat, and thus to imitate the ways of the God, referring back to the point that was made earlier. We have explained this many times in this treatise. These are almost, there's a paragraph which concludes the guide. This is almost the very end of the guide. And commentaries have pointed out this. After he spends all this time talking about the great philosophical and correct notions that one should have, the correct opinions about God and knowing God, he ends off his guide by saying, really what we need to do is create within us chesed, tzedakah, umishpat, kindness, righteousness, and justice. And that is a way of imitating God. V'halach l'bedrachav, you should go in his ways. And you see that in another, on page 4 again, in Hilchos Deos, the laws of what you translate as personality trait, in the underlined section there, and it's in English also on page 5, also underlined. And it says, "Mitzuvin anu l'lechus b'drachim elu habenim," we're commanded to go in these ways, the middle way, which I didn't really address. But of course, the Rambam's approach to moral qualities is the golden mean, the middle path. V'heim ha-drachim ha-tovim v'yisharim. Those are the good and proper ways. Shenema, as it says, v'halachta b'drachav. You shall go in his ways. Akach limdu b'feirish mitzvah zu. And this is exactly what you're referring to. This is what we learn in the explanation of this mitzvah. Mahu nikra chanun afatohu yochanun. Just like God is gracious, so too shall you be gracious. Mahu nikra rachum. Just like he is merciful, afatohu yirachum, so too is he merciful. Mahu nikra kadosh, afatohu yukadosh. Just like he is holy, so too shall you be holy. And he actually says, I think he calls it a little further in there. I don't know if you have that in front of you. Lefisha shemus ha'elu nikra b'han hayotze v'himaderach ha'beinish anuchayim lechuspa. Because these are the ways of the Creator of God, and they're the middle path which we're supposed to follow. Nikras derach zu derach Hashem. This is the way of God. So he very clearly emphasizes that in Hilchos Deos, in the laws of personality traits, that you should have approach to Midos to be the middle path, the balanced path, which is not so simple, by the way, because the Rambam also talks about the chassid, the pious person who doesn't take the middle path. So nothing is very simple here. But generally speaking, at least not the chassid, but the chacham, the wise person, should go down the middle path. And that path is called the Derech Hashem, the way of God. And that's the mitzvah of a halachta b'drachav. You shall go in his ways, follow the ways of God. So the Rambam emphasizes that at the end of the day, even though we're supposed to have correct opinions, what do we really know about God? We know about God his ways, as we're told in Parshas Kisisa, that God tells Moshe, you cannot see my face, you could only see my back. And the way the Rambam understands the back of God in another section of the guy is the way that God acts in this world, which is his midos, his attributes. How does he deal with us? The mitzvahs that he gives us. And the mitzvah that he gives us teaches us certain approaches and ways in life. And God is merciful, gracious, and holy, right? And therefore, we are supposed to be that way. And that's what we could really only know about God. So although ultimately we have to know God, in reality, most of us, at least, if we're not a Moshe Rabbeinu, or we're on a regular sort of human level that most of us are at, the way we know God is to emulate God and to go in his ways. So therefore, what you have really is the Rambam emphasizes to a very large degree the fact that we're supposed to follow the midos of Hashem, and a lot of the mitzvahs are really guide us in that direction. And these are, I would say, he's not describing them as gezeros, as decrees, but rather something that we're supposed to create within ourselves. And here is an important point is that it's not just that you have to act in a certain way because that's the mitzvah and it helps you create a certain midah. The goal is the midah. In the Rambam, when you look at it, in his Shemona Prakim, his 8 chapters, which is the introduction to Pirkei Avos, when he talks about it there, he talks about the fact that there's two aspects to mitzvahs, or to all actions. There's Maisim Tovim, there's good deeds, and there's Malos, and there's virtues, which both of them have to be the middle path. Your deeds have to be directed towards the middle path, and your virtues, which will translate simply as your midos, your inner personality traits, also have to be on the middle path. And if you look in Hilchos Deos, if you read the chapter, again, I think you should take it home, you read the first chapter, and he talks about what he calls the halachos of Deos, of personality traits. He doesn't talk about deeds at all. He talks about midos. He talks about attributes. And there's a very big difference, because we'll see in a second. that sometimes they can conflict, and therefore the Rambam is telling us, make sure that you understand that the goal is to get a balanced personality, not just to act in a balanced way, because everyone acting in different ways has different effect on their personalities, but you have to get a balanced personality. That's what the Torah wants. So now I'm going to address the topic that I said was what we're talking about today is, well, what happens when there is a conflict? And here it's very important to look at page, well, it's don't know where it is. It's on page 6. Again, this is in book 3, chapter 34. It's in Roman numerals, but it's 34. And there it says, I'm going to read also from the guide that I have, if you don't mind. So I like the translation better. Let me just see here. Right. The purpose of the law is not perfectly achieved in every individual, and that on the contrary, it necessarily follows that there should exist individuals whom this governance of the law does not make perfect. The Rambam says that very clear. In the copy that you have, it's underlined in the middle of the page, on page 6. We must consequently not be surprised when we find that the object of the law does not fully appear in every individual. There must naturally be people who are not perfected by the instruction of the law. Just as there be, okay, then he goes on. It's not always perfect for everyone. Now, this could be that it means in other laws, in all other laws, but it certainly means it also in regard to the mitzvahs that deal with your midos, with your personality traits. And not every mitzvah is going to get every particular person, or even every culture, or people in a certain country, or in certain circumstances. It's not necessarily going to get them to the point where the Torah really wanted us to be. So the Rambam here says, and this is somewhat controversial, I think, but the Rambam says it very clearly, the mitzvahs aren't perfect to get every individual. And he goes on, if you read the chapter in full, I don't have the whole chapter even quoted there, but it's because it's not possible. You can't expect, God didn't make every individual the same, so how do you expect every law to get everybody to the same point? It just doesn't work that way. So then, if that's the case, you're going to say, if that's so, then maybe I don't have to follow all the mitzvahs of the law when I feel it's not applicable. The Rambam says no. And again, on page 6, I have it underlined towards the last two underlines, but I'm going to read what I have here. It also will not be possible that the laws be dependent on changes in the circumstances of individuals and of the times, as is the case with regard to medical treatment. Do not think that it could change. It cannot change. Even though I just said it's not perfect in every case, it's not medicine. If you're a doctor and someone comes to you, you give them the proper treatment. You don't say, well, that's what I do with all my patients. I don't care. You've got to take this dose. No, you give the dose which is appropriate to the person, his health, his weight, and his situation, right? But that's not true in the law. Why? Because governance of the law ought to be absolute and universal. For if it were made to fit individuals, the whole would be corrupted. And in the Hebrew, it's a Gemara term, v'nasata devarecha l'shiurin. You would make out of it something that varies. In other words, there would be anarchy. If I would say the Torah laws don't always apply because in this particular situation, in this individual, it doesn't work, then there'd be anarchy. The Torah would fall apart. So therefore, you cannot change the law, the Rambam seems to say. The Rambam says in the Guide, I don't care that it doesn't apply equally to everyone. You still cannot change the law because we're afraid of anarchy. Not as the Ramban or others would say that, no, there's always, it has a reason and it works. It doesn't always work. It might even be harmful, the Rambam says. To certain mitzvahs might be harmful to certain people. But it doesn't matter. You have to keep the Torah's mitzvahs. Now the question then is, in the time remaining to us, is that the Rambam's final word? Does the Rambam actually hold that you're never allowed to change the law? And the answer, surprisingly, is no. Because the Rambam says that, and you could really see this in Hilchos Deos, that, well, first of all, I just want to tell you that, in Shemona Prakim, I quoted him more or less before, he says that the purpose is a twofold purpose, both in the Torah has maisim and midos, it's actions and also your attributes. And he quotes a pasuk in Zechariah, which says, Ve'emes v'hashalom ahevu, that you should only love truth and peace, truth being intellectual virtues, notions of God, and peace being virtues in regard to a person's attributes. That's the goal. I just want to restate that the goal is for shalom. Shalom is that you should have a balanced personality. But what happens when your behavior is not, when you have certain individual needs? The Rambam, again, in Hilchos Deos, says, says very clearly, I have it in your handouts here, someplace, here it is, on page 6, and I'm just going to quote part of it, but on page 6 on the bottom, and maybe page 7 actually, Halacha Gimel here, or in the bottom it's paragraph 2, that when you have a problem that you do not go down the middle path, so if you have a sickness that you are not someone down the middle path, but you, let's say, too extreme, you have too much arrogance, or you have too much anger. So then he says, if you read it carefully, we just don't have the time, that the idea is you have to then go to a doctor, which is really, just like you'd go to a doctor, you go to a doctor of midos, which I guess today would be a psychologist, but I think he meant like a philosopher or a rabbi. And they would tell you that, listen, you have to now go and you have to use behavior modification. If you're too angry, you have to make yourself like a doormat. If you're too arrogant, right, you have to put yourself down. And not only that, but I'll give you one very simple example. He says also that that when it comes down to it, even that's also true if you're also it's in Shmona Prakim. It also says that if you're too cheap, right, and you don't give any money away, you're too stingy, give away a lot of your money. And if you're too giving, then you should have to practice being cheap for a while. That's the Rambam's idea of behavior modification. If you're going, you're supposed to go down the middle. If you're too much in the direction of this way, push yourself all the way there until you balance out your personality. You create this tension until you balance out your personality one way or the other. Now, if you think about that, the Rambam is suggesting that you're not supposed to keep a specific mitzvah in the Torah. Because he says, if I have a problem that I give away too much money to tzedakah, if every mishulach that comes to my door I give too much money and by the time I'm finished I can't feed my family, I have to shut the door to mishulachim. I have to shut the door to giving tzedakah. But the Rambam says in other places, no, that there's a specific mitzvah. You're not supposed to turn any ani away. There's a well-known halacha. You're not supposed to turn somebody away. You have to give tzedakah. Not only that, but you have to give maser. You have to give at least a tenth, up to a fifth. You can't just say, I'm not going to give any money. But the Rambam clearly states, he actually doesn't say it in Hilchos Deos in regard to money, but he says it in Shmona Prakim. He says that sometimes you have to act bederach kilus. You have to act stingy in order to realign yourself that you're going down the middle path. So the Rambam seems to be suggesting that when you go to a doctor, someone who's knowledgeable, he can give you advice against the Torah. Now, taking all this into account, it's not 100% explicit, but the Rambam seems to be saying in the guide, the Torah has to be universal and it can't change. Because, why? Because there would be anarchy. But maybe, if you go to the proper person, there won't be anarchy. Right? And it's not like medicine, but then again, it is like medicine, because he says in Hilchos Deos, it's like medicine, that when you need help, you go to somebody who's an expert in midos, and they'll tell you what to do. And if they give you advice that goes against the Torah, they'll give you advice that goes against the Torah. And I'm sorry, I just want to make my last point, and I'll open up for questions. And if you think I'm overstating this, you can look on page 8, the last page of the handout, and he says, it's underlined, I don't have it in English, I'm sorry. Ukvar hizr hanavi alav hashalom azagamke, and the prophet already has warned us about this and said, b'chol derachecha da'ehu, in all of your ways you shall know him, God. Ufer shachacham zechon levracha, and the rabbis have explained, v'amru afilu l'dvar avera, you should even do it if it's a dvar avera, even if it's a sinful act. Uritzonam lomer, they mean to say, shetasim lapol ahu tachlis, v'hiya emes, afa pishyesh ba'avera mitzarechar. You should act, your works should have a certain goal, which is truth, even though it might be an aveira, it might be a sin from one aspect. And he says, Kvar kolu achachom zruchan levracha zeh inyan kulu biktsar b'milos mu'atas maros al zeh inyan hara shleima ma'od. The chacham have already taught us this in very few words, which teach us this important or complete teaching, until that you can understand it. Okay, he goes on and says it, but he says here something which is really unbelievable. But he's really quoting a Gemara. It's a famous Gemara which says by Yael, when Sisro came and he was running away from war, from Devorah, he came to her tent. And it's not clear in the Navi, but simply when you read the Navi, she had relations with him and then killed him. So you're not allowed to do that. It's Yarog Val Yavar. You're supposed to let yourself be killed. So there the Gemara says that a mitzvah, an Aveira, Aveira Lishma, an Aveira, which is for the sake of the mitzvah or for God, is just as good as a mitzvah Shalol Lishma, it says. That, whatever it is, I don't want to get into it. But it says that it's okay to do sometimes Aveiras Lishma, right? The footnote that I have underlined also brings down another application of Eliyahu on Har Carmel. Eliyahu brought a carbon, an offering, on a bama, on a altar, which is outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is not allowed. Right? So that's called Hara'ashah. That's called a temporary teaching that the Sanhedrin or a Navi is allowed to teach a halacha against the Torah on a temporary basis. So, but the Rambam is getting it from that Gemara, but he's applying it not just in very narrow, oh, Ya'al, it was good for Ya'al. Or it's okay for a Sanhedrin, which he very clearly says, to have a temporary change in halacha. That whole notion is really telling us, you know why the Sanhedrin can sometimes change halacha? Because sometimes the halacha doesn't work. But we can't have anarchy, so you need a prophet or a Sanhedrin to say, now it's okay. But the Rambam seems to hint that also it's possible when you have other types of conflicts. So if you have a personality trait problem, you sometimes have to act against the halacha. Now, I want to finish off, and it's before Rosh Hashanah. This is not to tell you, and I guess maybe it sounds like that, it's not to tell you that do whatever you want. What I'm trying to hopefully get to is that we have to understand what it's all about, and it changes our whole direction. In other words, if we see that the Rambam takes it such an extreme, and you have to be very careful in how you apply this, but we talk about in more detail some of the different applications at another time, or you could look into it. But at the end of the day, what's extremely important in my mind is the Rambam's approach, and the Ramban's to a certain degree, is that underlying it all, the Torah is really trying to form our midos, is what the Rambam's saying. It's important to follow the will of God in the mitzvahs. There's no question about it. But we have this problem, and I think in modern times we probably always have it, of compartmentalizing. That we have this Bein Adam LaMakom and the Bein Adam LaChavero. And we don't put the two together. And if we'd understand that the Bein Adam LaMakom, that which God decrees for us, is there, a lot of the reasons are there to try to create certain midas tovas within us, the halach, the bedrach, to follow the ways of God, then we would start approaching things in a different way. We'd analyze what we do. We try to understand not only what we're doing, but our motivations. We wouldn't only try to give tzedakah, we try to be kind to people. And therefore, sometimes it's not always the act of tzedakah, it's the underlying midah. And if we're not changing our underlying midah, we still might be performing a mitzvah, but ultimately, we might just go back to next Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur needing to do tshuva on the same thing, because we haven't really changed anything. We're just doing things on the surface. And what's really important, the goal, the ma'asim, the actions, the deeds, the mitzvahs, are really there to shape the midos. And if we have that in mind, I think we could really sort of guide ourselves in a direction where we're really becoming a new person. As the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, the purpose of tshuva is to be an ish acher, to be another person, not to be the same person we were before we did tshuva. Because tshuva is not just on the surface. It's very important to get beneath it and to really change what we're all about. And if we work on ourselves and we think about these things and we understand the purpose of mitzvahs, being midos, I think it's much harder, really, because it's hard to change ourselves. But ultimately, that's the goal that we have to reach. And hopefully, with that, we'll be zocha to a din tov on Rosh Hashanah. And hopefully, we'll have a year next year when we come back and there's nothing to talk about anymore.